Hello, I'm Jay Sedell. This is number 0189, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. And it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of The Stuff File Program, number 0189. And coming up on this edition of The Stuff File Program, you'll meet Carly Roberts, who is a 13-year-old singer-actress who has created a song and video to fight bullying.
I was bullied, and it was always the aspect of never being good enough. It stopped kids from doing great things, and I want everyone to know that everyone has the potential to do those great things, and I don't want the bullies to stop you.
Dr. Dennis Berg discusses procrastination.
People are, generally speaking, motivated by two things, pain or pleasure, and people prefer to do the things first that they're doing, the things that give them the fun part, the fun, exciting, pleasurable experience. And so most of those things, like going to the beach or going out to dinner or whatever it is they want to do, they tend to not so much procrastinate about those things.
Trent Silver is a social media digital marketing expert. He talks about monitoring your kids online.
It only takes one photo or one post that's on there, and it's going to be there forever. So a big thing to realize is that when it goes online, it's going to stay online.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff and, of course, an idiot of the day. The guest Slater, the person who told you this was show number 0189, was Jay Sedell. He is the father of global cameraman David Sedell, a fine gentleman in his own right, David is. And David is a chip off the old block as well. Thank you very much, Jay, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Here's a criminal mastermind tip for you. It's always a good idea when shoplifting to wear pants. Take the case of 18-year-old Warsaw, Wisconsin resident Elizabeth Hohen. Now, she and an as yet unidentified man had their Friday night all planned out, and step one was dinner. And nothing satisfies a hearty Wisconsin appetite like steaks. But why buy them when you can just steal them? So Coleman's Grocery was the perfect mark, and Ms. Hohen pinched the beef like a pro, stashing three beefsteaks in her purse. She and the man strolled right on out of the grocery with no one the wiser. This was where the mystery comes in. It wasn't the grocery store that called police. They were called because a woman was spotted standing naked from the waist down on a street corner. An odd way to celebrate a successful shoplifting, to say the least. Hohen put her pants back on when police arrived and took off running with the man. She was caught. He escaped. Interestingly enough, Hohen faces charges of resisting arrest and shoplifting, but not public nudity or indecency. She must have some really nice assets. Yeah. Anyway, elsewhere, police were summoned to a hospital in Maywood, Illinois, to take a report as they had a 17-year-old male with a gunshot wound. The unnamed young man, shot in the groin, told officers that he was attacked by two men wearing ninja masks who jumped out of a black van, and one of them shot him. Officers checked the scene where the boy said it happened and found no evidence of a shooting, no witnesses, and nothing on security cameras in the area. They returned to the hospital to ask the boy what really happened. He tried several other stories, but doctors said the trajectory indicated the wound was self-inflicted, so the boy finally admitted he was driving with several females and playing with a gun in his lap. It went off, shooting him. That young and with several girls in the car, huh? Let's just say he's not the first kid to be the victim of an accidental discharge. Jose Perales, Jr., age 24, was charged with breaking into Dr. John's Lingerie Boutique in Davenport, Iowa in February. Surveillance video revealed he was wearing men's clothing when he entered, but left in a dress and a blonde wig. In fact, while changing clothes, his bare back was visible, revealing Pareles tattooed on his shoulder. Oh, he'll make a whole new set of friends explaining that crime while he's in jail. Yes. When Constable Sergeant Daniel Scott McWilliams turned up at a Las Vegas apartment to serve an eviction notice, the tenant seemed nervous. According to a police report, Alexander Allen, age 36, refused to open a locked door and then fled when the sergeant asked a maintenance employee to help him enter it. Still, McWilliams didn't notice anything unusual, a police report says, other than a dog. Okay. Let me repeat that last statement from the police report because it's vital to this story here. Constable Sergeant McWilliams didn't notice anything unusual other than a dog. Okay, so animal control officers who came for the dog did notice something unusual. And when the police came, their report said they observed a hammer on the vanity, a ripped-down shower curtain, blood all over the bathroom, a bloody candle holder, and perhaps the most unusual thing animal control had noticed, a bloody bag containing the corpse of Allen's boyfriend. Allen was apprehended and charged with murder and held without bail. The constable's office is investigating McWilliams' performance. Well, if they investigate the way their sergeant did, they'll surely find nothing unusual. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, being identified with the number 666, the mark of the beast in the Bible's Book of Revelation, continues to trouble the righteous. Walter Slaponis, age 52, felt required to resign as a maintenance worker at Contact Casting in Clarksville, Tennessee, in February after receiving his W-2 form, which he noted was the 666th mailed out by Contact this year. However, perhaps Walter is not so innocent. He had been working at Contact for less than 2 years, yet had already been assigned the number 666 twice on the company's payroll books and on the company's time clock system. Yes, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? Carly Roberts is a 13-year-old singer-actress who wrote and produced an anti-bullying song and video entitled Call Me Whatever. It's a video that has since gone viral. You really should check it out. It's kind of cool. But before we get to Carly, let's hear a little bit of the song that she wrote. Here's Call Me Whatever.
I'm a nerd, I'm a geek, I'm some sort of freak. I'm always something new to you every day of the week. I can be pale or too tan, black or white, you're not a fan. So tell me what you're looking for, what is your new demand? I'm a loser, I'm a winner, a saint and a sinner. Should be bigger, taller, shorter, smaller, fatter, or thinner. I'm too smart, I'm very dumb, look at the things I have become. There's nothing old, there's nothing new, so where's this all coming from? Call me whatever you want, I don't care. I'll show you what. Can't you see? We're all the same within. Cool.
that's just a little taste of Carly Roberts' anti-bullying song called Call Me Whatever. You can see it on YouTube. But right now, Carly is on the line with us to talk about the video and the anti-bullying message that she is putting across. She joins us on the line from New York. Hi, Carly.
Hi.
What made you decide to do this particular video? Were you someone yourself who was bullied?
Yes, I was bullied, and it was always the aspect of never being good enough. It stops kids from doing great things, and I want everyone to know that everyone has the potential to do those great things, and I don't want the bullies to stop you.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're an actress and a singer, so you know a little bit about performing. And you performed since you were relatively little, right?
Yes, actually, right now I'm on the Whatever Tour, and I've been touring all across the nation to different events and schools just to promote anti-bullying awareness.
The reason why I ask you about your performing is that sometimes, I mean, for most kids, there's a reason why there are reasons why bullies, for whatever reason, do what they do. But for kids who perform, like yourself, sometimes the bullying comes out of other kids' jealousy. Have you experienced that yourself?
Well, I've experienced many different types of bullying, and I think jealousy is one of them as well. For example, there was this one time where this bully kept saying that everything was wrong with what I did, and it made me not want to succeed in any accomplishments or anything. So I think jealousy comes as a part of it as well, because maybe they wanted to succeed in that area as well. It's just really hard for kids to just, especially now at this age, it's really hard for kids to really be confident in themselves, because it can affect them later on in life. And that's why it's important right now to stop bullying. Yes, it's going to get better, but it's going to affect them later on if we don't stop it right now.
Well, where do you get your confidence from?
Where do I get my confidence from?
Yeah.
Well, what I do is I express myself through art. So Call Me Whatever is my song that I released for anti-bullying awareness, to spread anti-bullying awareness. And I got my confidence from just really expressing how I feel and knowing that I can accomplish anything that I want to. I can't let other kids, and other kids as well, can't let them, let other bullies affect them. And I think that's really important, knowing who you are as a person, because that's really going to help you build your confidence.
The reason why I asked the question about where you get your confidence from is because, I mean, right there in the title of your song, you're just saying, call me whatever, like it doesn't bother you. So is that the message you want to get out to bullies, that you're not going to affect what I think of myself?
Yes, Call Me Whatever is about battling name-calling and breaking down stereotypes so that bullies won't be able to say, hey, you're a nerd, or you're so ugly, you're so tan, because you can't be perfect for everybody. You just have to know who you are as yourself, and Call Me Whatever is just saying, you know what, call me whatever, because I know that I'm proud of who I am.
Have you, since you've done this video, and like I said, it's gone viral now, have you heard from any of the people who in the past have bullied you?
I have tons of emails that people have sent me explaining about how they experienced bullying, and I even got emails from bullies who haven't even realized it yet.
And you've also got a lot of reaction from celebrity people in the celebrity community, have you not?
Yes. I recently just partnered with Pacer and also the Museum of Tolerance. So it's been really exciting.
But also, haven't you been, looking at some of the reactions, celebrity reactions you've received so far, haven't you been hearing from people like Adrian Barbeau, from Lucy Arnaz, people like that?
Yes, I have. I recently, Highlight Hollywood just posted an article on that, and it's just been great to see celebrities and kids and just everybody really responding well and really want to make this issue more aware.
So what's next for you? Now that you've got this video out there, you sort of have become an ambassador of anti-bullying. Does this keep you very, very busy? What's next for you?
Yes, this has been keeping me very busy, but I love it. I love spreading awareness to this issue. And also, right now, I'm holding the 2013 Call Me Whatever, No Name Calling poster contest. And it's for kids to express themselves instead of lashing out in violence or using their words to hurt the bully back. And I think it's really important for kids to express themselves. So now we're holding the contest, and we're holding it so kids can express themselves through art, and all the winners will be showcased at the Museum of Tolerance, which is our newest partner. And it's just been really exciting. We held the contest last year as well.
So how
and we got submissions from all over, and it's been really exciting that kids want to help promote this issue.
How do people get involved in the contest? What do they have to do to participate?
What they have to do to participate in the contest is, actually, all the information is on my website, and I'm actually going to be posting it on my Facebook and my Twitter.
Okay, so people can go to your website, which is carlyroberts.com, and Carly is spelled K-A-R-L-E-E, correct?
Yep.
So that's carlyroberts.com. People can find that information. People can also listen to the song. It's called Call Me Whatever. They can see the video. It's up on YouTube. Congratulations on all you're doing. It's as I said, you're a great ambassador. Bullying is something.
Thank you so much.
bullying is something that has to be stopped, and it's nice to see that there are young people like you who are at the forefront of it to make sure that this does indeed happen. Congratulations, Carly, and thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
Call me whatever you want, I don't care. I'll show you what I got. This is the way that I've always been. Can't you see? We're all the same within. Call me whatever you want. Insecure. That's one thing that I'm not. This is the way that I've always been. Can't you see? We're all the same within. No matter what you see, I'll always be me.
13-year-old Carly Roberts. Again, her song is Call Me Whatever. You really should check it out on YouTube. It's really well done. Get your kids to watch it too. You can visit Carly's website at carlyroberts.com, and you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0189, and you'll find links to Carly's site, plus links to the YouTube video.
You're listening to The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander's show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of The Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick. If you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Pay very close attention. There could be a test leader.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to Dr. Dennis Burke about procrastination, if and when we'll get around to it. Also, Trent Silver, a social media and digital marketing expert, talks about monitoring your kids online. And of course, we have an idiot of the day coming your way. But first, lots more stuff here on the Stuff File program, a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. A car from Greg's driving school came to a sudden stop in Frederick, Maryland, when two wild turkeys attacked the car. One jumped on the hood and began pecking and hitting the windshield, and the other chased behind. The nearby Faith United Church of Christ, which is located on Opossumtown Pike, warned members to watch out for wild turkeys, since several members reported being chased by the gobblers. "I'd never really seen turkeys up that close before, and I didn't know what they were," the student driver, Justin Cherasini, age 21, said. "It was pretty wild. I was like, what do I do? I didn't want to just go because I didn't want to run over the turkeys." Justin admitted he was nervous. "I just thought they were some kind of bird." Some kind of bird. Notice we haven't heard anything in this story about the driving instructor. Nothing is said about him or her. Surely he had a thought or two. I'm guessing the student driver doesn't want to run afoul of the law. And yes, you can spell foul any way you want to. Okay, Mattel's toy cars such as Hot Wheels, Matchbox, and Tyco RC bring the company about $1 billion in sales per year. But that's not enough for Mattel, who says sales aren't increasing as much as they would like them to be. They don't blame changing tastes, poor marketing, or made-in-China quality, but rather it's the fault of the nation's mothers, who don't get how to play toy cars with their boys. She doesn't get why cars, engines, and all the shapes and crashing and smashing are so cool, said Mattel's vice president in charge of North American Boys Toys and Games Division. That would be the fellow by the name of Matt Peterson. Jot that name down, please. To help those stupid women, the company is adding play guides for mothers on its website and hosted a bunch of so-called mommy bloggers to teach them why boys like cars. Having this conversation could be what takes the brand to the next level, Peterson said. Said that with a straight face, too, I'm sure. Wow, if you think that's bad, I just can't wait to hear what the company has to say about stupid fathers and why perhaps they can blame them for the lackluster sales of Barbie dolls. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Anyway, a prank turned violent at the Lion Village neighborhood when a man reportedly was beaten for drawing a penis on his roommate's face. According to Arlington County Police, 31-year-old James Watson fell asleep on his couch after a night of drinking. He woke up at around 5:30 a.m. and became furious when he discovered the permanent marker drawings on his face. Police say that Watson suspected his roommate and ran upstairs to where the roommate was sleeping and jumped on top of him, repeatedly punching him in the face. The commotion awakened a third roommate who managed to separate the two. The victim reportedly waited for an hour and a half to call the police while deciding whether or not to press charges. He did end up calling for help, and police charged Watson with malicious wounding. The injured man's eye was swollen shut and bleeding, so the third roommate drove him to the hospital for treatment. Cops say the roommate admitted that sometimes they play pranks on each other while intoxicated. Well, you know, sometimes you are what you draw. That's all I'm saying. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest, eventually, here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, think the bacon craze is over? Think again. A Seattle-based company launched bacon condoms and bacon sunscreen this week, proving bacon isn't a trend, but rather a fact of life. Each year, 5 billion condoms are sold worldwide, 450 million in the U.S. alone, and exactly zero look, taste, or feel like bacon until now, according to Justin Esch and Dave Lefkow, who are the two baconpreneurs, as said in their press release. The pair are behind Bacon Salt Seasoning and have created Baconaise, envelopes, and the less appetizing-sounding bacon lip balm. The sunscreen boasts SPF 30 to protect skins from UV rays. Science has shown us that 10 out of 10 people prefer the smell of bacon to coconut, which makes this the most anticipated new product of the summer, a tongue-in-cheek release states. A 118-milliliter bottle will set you back about $10 and is available for pre-order at baconsunscreen.com. Orders are expected to ship out in June. The three-pack of condoms, touted as the new standard of animal protein-themed prophylactics, is also about $10 and is already on back order at baconcondoms.com. Something's not quite kosher about all of this, but I digress. Anyway, let's get to our next guests on the program, shall we? Procrastination is a common habit among people, but why do people do it and how do people stop it? On the line with us right now is Dr. Dennis Burke, the Doctor of Wisdom. He joins us on the line from Florida. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how are you?
I'm just tickety-boo. Thanks for being on the program with us.
So, not a problem at all. I'm enjoying some sunshine. I'm sure you'd love to be down here, right?
Oh, I'm happy where I am right now, sir. I never complain about the weather. Never, ever, ever. I can't change it. Why do people procrastinate? And is it always a bad thing, by the way?
Well, first of all, let me answer the first question first. People are, generally speaking, motivated by two things, pain or pleasure. And people prefer to do the things first that they're doing, the things that give them the fun part, the fun, exciting, pleasurable experience. And so most of those things, like going to the beach or going out to dinner or whatever it is, taking a trip, whatever it is they want to do, they tend to not so much procrastinate about those things. However, the things they find less fun to do, the things that are perceived painful or uncomfortable to them, they tend to put those off. Like, I know you have to pay your bills, but sitting down at the table and writing the checks and putting them in the envelopes is not fun for a lot of people. There are so many other aspects of their life every day that they just don't find fun, so they just put that off. And that's the way people are. What was the second question?
And is it always a bad thing? And before you answer that, I seem to be the opposite. Now, I live in a world where because of the job that I do, I'm always working toward deadline. And I'm a bit of a procrastinator, but I happen to like working to deadline. And as far as doing things that I don't like to do, I like to do those first, get them out of the way.
Well, that's a good time management practice because you have more sense of gratification and fulfillment once you get the things done first that you really didn't care much for doing, and then it becomes like dessert after dinner when you start doing the items that you actually really find fun to do, and you can do those secondary or do them toward the end. But I believe that most people, they are attracted toward the thing that is least pain and is the most fun, and that's what they want to do first, and that's why other things get put off. That's why doing laundry gets put off. That's why maybe going to the store to do the groceries, buy groceries. I mean, these are all things you have to do, but people would prefer to do other things, like visit, have a cup of coffee at Starbucks, or do something else that they find fun to do. That's just generally how people are.
Okay, so going back to the second question I said earlier then, is there ever a time when procrastination isn't necessarily a bad thing?
I would say that there are certain things that are good to put off, but the things you should put off should be those things that have the least significance to the overall results that you're looking for in your life, whatever your goals are. So you wanted to make $150,000 this year, and you are not focused on bringing in new clients, which is a priority, or not reaching out and prospecting to new people, or you're not networking and marketing to new people, let's say you're not doing any of that, then you're putting all that on the back burner for some reason. You're not going to achieve the goals that you need to, and then that is a bad thing to procrastinate.
Well, we're living in a world right now where more and more people are forced, because of the economy, to be entrepreneurial. So is this a time period where procrastination is more of a problem? I mean, it was easier, I guess, not necessarily to procrastinate, but to get around it by being corralled by your job, by what your bosses were telling you you had to do, by hitting other people's deadlines. But when the deadlines are of your own doing or for your own benefit, I guess it's a little more difficult when you're a procrastinator.
Well, that's true. That's why you have to have a tight system of organization and management. And then today there are all these types of softwares that are downloadable for free that you can use. There's Asana.com, and there's mind mapping, and there are other procedures, processes, softwares, and such that you can use to help you keep yourself on track and to not have to procrastinate so much and to stay focused on what you have to do. And I'm speaking as an entrepreneur. And even beyond that, if you are still organized and you still tend to procrastinate, you can hire yourself a part-time assistant who is organized and keep you on track with your calendar and stuff. So there wouldn't be any real reason or excuses why you can't succeed in this particular case.
We often hear the term seeing the forest for the trees, but I'm going to flip that. Is part of the problem with procrastinators, they don't see the trees for the forest. In other words, they're sometimes overwhelmed by what the bigger picture might be, that they can't deal with the individual situations that lead to the bigger picture.
Well, the problem for a lot of people is they don't know what their bigger picture is. They haven't really found their purpose in life. They don't know where they're heading, what their destination is, what their outcome is intended to be. And the majority of people end up in a chaotic state of thought, frustrated. They don't understand where they're really headed in their life, and they have a lot of chaos and a lot of uncertainty and indecision. And that's where I believe the biggest issue is for people, because it's easier to put something off, whatever that is, than it is to take responsibility and do it right now, especially with something that's important to your life and progressing your life.
Is this something that is procrastination something that we see more of in certain areas, certain cultures? I bring it up because, you know, we can hear the accent. You're from Ireland, so you're from over across the pond, as the saying goes. You're a self-made millionaire. There seems to be a shift nowadays in economic powers as far as who has the thriving economy and who doesn't. I'm just wondering if procrastination is something that is more inherent in a North American society, or is it a more global phenomenon?
I think it's more a global phenomenon. It's just how people are. They've just been raised in a certain way, taught to believe in a certain way, empowered in a certain way, conditioned in a certain way. And because of all of the accumulated conditioning and thinking and beliefs that they have, then it comes really down to a matter of pain and pleasure, what is more fun to do and what is not so much fun to do. And people have a lot of influence today from things that they have no control over, be it the internet, be it media that's out there. Then they end up with the wrong information in their mind. They're confused and they don't know what path or direction to take. They tend to just put so much stuff off, they just become master procrastinators.
So in changing whatever you're doing that you want to change, like anything else in life, it always begins with a first step. So if someone's out there who's a procrastinator who says, you know, I really don't want to be, or I can't afford to be a procrastinator anymore, what's the first step they have to take?
You have to identify what it is that you really want in your life and what your goals are, what it is you want to achieve. Once you have that, you have such a thing as a clarity of purpose. When you have clarity of purpose, you have a clear mind. And when you have a clear mind, you can make better decisions and better choices, and you will less and less tend to procrastinate when you have a clear purpose.
You have the website, which is minddestiny.com. What will people find when they go to your website?
They'll get a lot of information about different ways to improve their lives, different articles that I've written. I also have a success mastermind program that if anybody is interested, it's completely free. And you can send us in an email to admin@minddestiny.com. That's admin@minddestiny.com. and my assistant will register whoever contacts her. Her name is Diana Lee, for these programs that I have, which are right now we're running The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles, and we're starting the Thinking Grow Rich in April. And these are online by webinar training for free, and the people get to talk to me and interact with me. I share my insight with them. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I hope people who are interested in checking that out won't procrastinate and they'll do it right away.
I think that was a good pun on your language right there.
Okay. Dennis, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling me.
Dr. Dennis Burke, the Doctor of Wisdom. You can visit his website at minddestiny.com. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0189, and you'll find links to Dennis's site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo-Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. As baseball season begins, I would like to tell you about one of the most important people in the sport you've probably never heard of. Dr. Creighton Hale was a young college professor when, in 1955, he joined Little League Baseball to lead its safety efforts. He would eventually spend 50 years with the Little League, including 20 as its president. During that time, he invented some of the most important safety equipment used in the game today, including the double ear flap batter's helmet and the catcher's chest protector with throat guard. But let's be fair, I probably would have never heard of Dr. Hale if it hadn't been for a speech he gave to Congress. You see, he traveled to Washington, D.C. to reveal that the lawsuit problem in America has become so bad that the Little League had to spend more money on liability insurance to protect itself from lawsuits than it spent on bats, balls, and gloves combined. Next week, I'll tell you how it got that way. Until then, visit our website at centerforamerica.org.
If you're listening to this while walking with your iPod, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street. It's safety first on The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about monitoring your kids online. And, of course, there is an idiot of the day coming your way. But first, more Stuff File news. Some cops in Connecticut are more bark than bite. But their animal instincts are exactly what was called for in order to bring down a pair of suspected criminals. Two mass burglary suspects were holed up inside a home in Connecticut and were refusing to cooperate with authorities, so cops decided the next logical move was issuing a threat to release dogs from the canine unit. However, there was just one problem. None of the dogs were actually on the scene or available for the effort. So, the New Haven Police Department made do with their resources on hand, enlisting several of the dozen officers to bark like dogs in an effort to convince the two that a pack of vicious dogs were chomping at the bit just waiting to be unleashed. And, in a surprising development, it actually worked. After they heard the cops barking, the two emerged from the home and surrendered. The suspects, Kwame Wells Jordan, age 20, and Norman Boone, age 23, have been charged with car theft and burglary. Additional charges are forthcoming. Needless to say, McGruff the crime dog would be proud. And a Macon business told police that thieves broke in and stole $35,000 worth of hair. According to a police report, it happened at the Vega Hair Company. An employee told police that she arrived around 11 on Friday and found the door open. The report says a witness reported seeing four men dressed in black and wearing gloves who apparently pried the door open. One of the thieves had long dreadlocks, the report says. A neighboring company provided a video of the four men breaking in. So, the hair thieves are still at large. Well, I'm sure the cops are combing the area. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, figuring a bank executive would have access to all the cash in the branch, Josu Silva, age 22, went into a Wells Fargo branch in De Leon Springs, Florida, walked up to the manager's office and asked for stacks, wads of cash, claiming that he was the boss of the bank. The manager sent him away, but Silva went to a teller and pounded his fist on the counter with the same demand. A teller asked if he had a check to cash or a debit card. "I don't need it," he told them. "I'm the boss." When they didn't fall for his ploy either, Silva rolled his eyes and walked out. A teller had recognized Silva and gave his name to sheriff's deputies, who quickly caught up and arrested him. But specific charges, by the way, have not been noted. Well, I can think of one. impersonating a Wall Street investment banker. That usually works. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program, shall we? Take your pick of analogies. It's either a digital jungle out there or a digital minefield, and your kids are wading through it. So let's talk about monitoring your kids online. Trent Silver is a social media and digital marketing expert, and he joins us on the line from Florida. Hi, Trent.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on with us. So what are the biggest things that parents should be worried about when it comes to their kids being online? For instance, they can look at their kids' Facebook pages, and they look pretty tame, but are they?
Well, you know what? They may be tame, but it only takes one photo or one post that's on there, and it's going to be there forever. So a big thing to realize is that when it goes online, it's going to stay online.
So what sites should parents be monitoring to be sure their kids' activities online are, you know, above board, as it were?
The most popular, obviously, Facebook. It's bigger than a country, bigger than most countries and continents, so chances are the kids are going to be on there. Twitter, some of the new ones, Instagram and Snapchat. Snapchat is a big issue now because as soon as the messages come through, 10 seconds later, they self-destruct and disappear.
Okay, explain, for those who aren't familiar, what exactly is Snapchat?
Snapchat is a cell phone application, and it transmits videos, photos, messages, and the videos or the messages actually are programmed. It was started by four students at Stanford about 2 years ago. The messages actually self-destruct in 10 seconds. So once it's sent, the recipient looks at it, in 10 seconds it's gone, and it's deleted from the servers of Snapchat. So it's easy for kids to get caught up sending nude images, inappropriate messages, and then they think it's gone.
Okay, but you just said they think it's gone. So by virtue of what you just described Snapchat as, it's not really gone then.
Right. That's the peril of the internet. So it's gone unless the recipient takes a quick snapshot of it, downloads it, records it. With the internet now, it's really never gone. So a lot of kids think they can just send whatever they want over Snapchat, and it ends up on the internet. It hurts them one day when they're applying for college or for school.
Now, what are some of the things that parents can do to help limit their exposure to their kids' exposure online?
Well, the best thing to do is to educate the child. I run 12 internet businesses, and we market all over social media, target everyone from 14 to 60, and the real thing to do is education. It's better to scare your kids than to make them unaware. I mean, you can't be the controlling parent that forces your kid to delete their Facebook, takes their phone. It's best to just make them aware. I like to say that the new sex talk is now called the text talk. So I, you know, running lots of campaigns for 8 years on social media, I tell parents to educate their kids, maybe even scare them, but let them know whatever they post online is going to be there forever.
Now, you say educate the kids, but sometimes that's easier said than done, only because, as I'm sure you're aware, in a lot of cases, kids know what's going on online, or kids know how to manipulate the internet a lot easier and sometimes a lot faster than their parents do.
Absolutely. Basically, you have to monitor their posts. You have to look through. If you're going to be the controlling parent that monitors instead of educates, you have to monitor their friends list. You have to monitor their posts. You have to link their social media, their applications to your iTunes, to your computer. Set up a location in the house where, at least until they're mature, maybe with half a brain at 18, you know, because if you're a 9-year-old kid and you post something embarrassing online about yourself, there's no obligation to take it down. Unless law enforcement requires a social media company to take it down, it's not going down.
But I'm sure some people are saying, well, how embarrassing can something short of nudity, how embarrassing can whatever a 9-year-old puts up online be just that embarrassing?
It can be embarrassing if the 9-year-old, you know, puts up a status, a Facebook status that about their parent, maybe, you know, or post, maybe they happen to find a picture of their parents drinking, they post it online, their brother, their sister. And there is a new bill, actually, that's been proposed by a Representative Ed Markey, a Democrat from Massachusetts. And he wants to pass legislation that gives all kids under age 15 the right to delete photos or text that wind up online. The likelihood, though, of this getting passed is not that great, because the conversation right now is all around federal spending and gun control. So the other experts say there's no chance it's getting passed.
Now, what you just said is something I'm sure that's very alarming to not just parents, but adults in general. The idea that someone doesn't have the right to take down a picture that they may have put up themselves, I'm sure is something that is quite alarming to people who think that whatever they put up, they can simply take down.
Absolutely.
So it's not always possible to remove stuff that you put up online.
It's almost never. It's always somewhere. It's saved somewhere. Someone's transmitted it. The best thing you can really do for parents is to just show a positive interest. You know, kids are smart. They're going to find a way to post. They're going to find a way to send that inappropriate text message. The best thing to do is to put fear in them, but be positive. Show an interest in their Facebook. Show an interest in their Twitter. You know, don't try to limit everything they do, but show an active interest. For most sites, the minimum age is 13, so it's really up to parents to even monitor their kids signing up. The social media sites can't control that.
Now, I introduced you as a social media and digital marketing expert, and I want to take a few minutes to talk about some of the stuff that you do. One of them is cash for purses. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got started, I'm 22. I got started when I was 18 buying gold through the mail, and that evolved into buying purses. So high-end bags, Gucci, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Fendi. And I actually just used social media. Anybody can go to Google News and type Lindsay Lohan, and I put an offer out to help buy Lindsay Lohan's $300,000 locker room of bags. She owes her attorneys and she owes her the IRS $300,000, and she has $300,000 worth of purses. So I used social media to reach her managers, and the Huffington Post picked it up, Hollywood TV, and it's been a big deal. That's how fast things spread over social media.
Wow. So people can check out, what will people see when they go to the website cashforpurses.com?
They'll see a lead generation form. In marketing, that's basically just a contact form where an interested user inputs their information and basically allows us to remarket to them and send them a box, send their purse in. They'll see a cool cartoony site that people like.
Now, you mentioned you're only 22. You started your business when you were 18, so obviously you've been very social media savvy from a young age. Looking back to when you were even younger than 18, were there things you said or did online that you wished your parents had stepped in and stopped you from doing?
Definitely. I have, to be honest, I have pictures out there that will never come down. You know, nothing crazy, nothing that will harm me, no posts that are crazy, but just shows immaturity. And it's stuff that I wish my parents had spent more time looking over my shoulder, teaching me, you know, one day when you're 22 or you're 23 and you're running a seven-figure business, trying to close deals, trying to get celebrities, trying to get international charities, this is stuff you're not going to want.
Is it not possible, though, with each subsequent generation, I mean, when you have an entire generation that grows up with social media, that for them, what they did when they were younger, when they were immature, won't be such a big deal because it would have become the norm that A lot of people have done that. It's more important now with the so-called older generation who didn't grow up with social media, who look at things that are posted and say, well, gee, that shows a sign of immaturity, looking at the individual who's done it rather than saying that that's just something of that generation per se.
I believe that. Most people don't look at it that way, but it's human evolution. So I think as the years go on, social media is still relatively new. So, and there's new ones popping up all the time. I'm sure as life goes on, unless it's something really, really bad, I think it seems that people will start being accepting. You know, you're 18, you post something, you know, you're an adult at 18, so you're kind of out of luck. So I think you're right about that, though. Mm.
People can find out more information about your sites and what you do. They can go to, as I said earlier, cashforpurses.com. Any other sites out there you want to mention?
Yeah, I've got cashforpurses.com, F-O-R, and I have phonedaddy.com, like GoDaddy, but PhoneDaddy. We do cash for cell phones, too.
Okay, so that's PhoneDaddy and also cashforpurses.com. I thank you very much, Trent, for being on the program with us.
Thanks. I've had a lot of fun. Thanks.
Social media and digital marketing expert Trent Silver. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for this show, which is show number 0189, and you'll find links to Trent's site. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for The Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for The Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents The Idiot of the Day.
Lexington police routinely arrest burglary suspects who break into businesses through the ceiling. Usually a would-be burglar waits until the store is closed. Police said that wasn't the case at the Eastland Shopping Center, where employees at Rose's Department Store heard something shuffling around above the drop tile ceiling just after lunchtime. After officers searched for about a half hour, Paul Masters, age 47, fell through the ceiling and wrestled with officers waiting in the store below. After a brief hospital visit, Masters was charged with first-degree burglary and fleeing or evading police. This is very uncommon for something like this to occur at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Lexington Police Lieutenant Sam Murdoch said. This is typically the type of crime we would see usually in the early morning hours when businesses are closed and there are not a lot of pedestrians or patrons present. Police aren't sure why Masters was in the ceiling. He told police he was retrieving money for a friend. Murdoch said, however, that police did not find any money in the attic where Masters was accused of milling around. They did find a hat, gloves, and a pry bar. Rose's employees called police at around 1 p.m. Officers who responded noticed several ceiling tiles displaced. Police say they think Masters got into the attic, which was barely tall enough to stand up in, by climbing through the ceiling in the bathroom. Cops on ladders began poking their heads into the ceiling to look for the man. They spotted him near the front of the store. Masters tried to run away from the officers, but lost his footing on one of the joists and fell through the ceiling tile. Despite being injured from falling about 12 feet, he fought with officers, injuring one before he was shocked with a taser and subdued. Okay, so why would someone be hiding in the ceiling of a department store with burglary tools just after high noon on a work day? One reason, and one reason only. He's an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of The Stuff File program number 0189. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0189. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You could also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, streaming on PCJ Media and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes and Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. Bye-bye.
You've
You've been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Any rebroadcast of this copywritten program in whole or in part without the express written consent of... Oh, God, who the hell are we kidding? Who's going to steal this show? God, who writes this stuff? Holder, what a kidder.